Happy Sabbath. I hadn't seen you folks since last year. But I'm so blessed to see you all. For some of you, this might be your first time here, and we're so glad that you are here. I believe that God is the one who is faithful. He is the one who keeps his promises. And there's even a promise he has for you and I this day that he will fulfill. As we get into the message for this morning, let us bow our heads. Loving Father above, we come to you as our God, as our Father, as the King of the universe. And you have provided through all of last year, and we're testaments of that. And now you want to make something new. So, Father, speak to us. Send us your word, and may your spirit mold our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting the things that come our way in the new year. I think my clicker is not connected. Because amazing things and ideas and thoughts and goals and dreams come about. Why? Because it is the new year. Because the truth is that we want something different. We want something better. Not just something better. We actually want a change from last year. And beloved, I don't know what 2018 you had. But not only is 2019 a new year, but I believe that God wants us to have the best year. I know some of you are processing that. The best year? 2019? I mean, maybe we had some aspirations 2019 and we're seeing some of those come to fruition, but the best year, Pastor? Why not? Why can't 2019 be the best year? Because I believe God has some things for us. You know, the best year has some new things that God wants to do, starting with me. Who me? Me and you. Us. God wants the best year for you. How so? The Bible tells us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? So this best me has to be where I come to Christ today and every day this year. And as I come to Christ, he makes me old or new. He makes me new, the Bible says. Not just that, but the Bible says, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. And I still need some crucifying to do. How about you? The Savior gives no encouragement to any to think that he will accept a patchwork religion. What kind of patchwork religion? Such a religion is of no value in his sight. There may at first seem to be some of self and some of Christ. I'll take a little bit of me and take a little bit of Jesus, and we'll see how good that goes. No. But it is soon seen that there is none of Christ. If I try to have my foot with Christ and my foot in the world, pretty soon I start moving my other foot to where now both of my feet are with the world. The patches of selfishness increase till the entire garment is covered with them. A religion formed after divine pattern is the only one that will endure. Only by striving to live the life of Christ here can we prepare ourselves to live with him through the eternal ages. You see, the best me can only be found in Christ by doing three things. Number one, talking to God like never before. When we wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus. You took care of me last night. I don't have to worry about the who's driving down the street. You're going to take care of me when that bill comes in and there's nothing in the bank account. Thank you. Talking to him throughout the whole day, pleading with him. But also, too, the best me can only be found in Christ as I yearn to know him daily. When was the last time we came to the Word of God and said, God, I want to know you more. I want to come to know who you are, not tomorrow, today. Yearning to know him daily in his word. And last but not least, living by his word. Because you know what? The devil knows the Bible better than all of us combined. He's just not submitting to it, that's all. See that picture on the screen? Has the word of God. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walking in his word. It's not enough to have God's word in my mind. God's word needs to be in my feet so that I walk in his word. You heard me say a few moments ago in the announcements about what starts this Wednesday. Are 10 days of prayer. Let me tell you, this past prayer meeting, this past week, the Lord blessed. He blesses every week. But God is wanting to do something old? No, something new. And I believe God wants us to have the best year. And that includes dedicating time to pray together. Because I know you pray at home. But it's different when we come to pray together. It was told Wednesday night, and I quote, this dear saint had a horrible day. Problems to the left, problems to the right. And as they walked into the church, they felt a presence. The presence of the Lord was there. I don't know what you're doing Wednesday night at 7 p.m., but I know where I'll be. Because I made my mind up. I need to be with God's people. I need to be where God is going to do some stuff. So make plans to be at our 10 days of prayer starting Wednesday and thereafter. New things not only includes me, but new things this year to have the best year also includes my marriage and my family. The Bible says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. For you married folk, are we one flesh? Or is my spouse on AM and I'm on FM? Is the extent of our communication a text here and a text there? And sometimes it doesn't feel much like a marriage, but more like roomies. Are we one flesh? Because the Bible says that when a man and a woman get married, they one flesh. You see, the best marriage and family can only be found in Christ as husband and wife pray together. Husbands, don't let your wife leave the house, or you leave the house without praying with them. That's wrong. We got to make sure God blesses our spouse before they leave and as they come back. Praying together. Just you and your spouse. And let me tell you, doing this isn't so easy, at least for me and my house, because we're running over here changing the diaper. Oh, don't kill the house. Doing so much, running here, running there, and to pray together before the day happens, that's a challenge. We got to do it, folk. Number two, walk together. You see this couple down here? The ship may have sunk, but they made it through the storm. Why? Because they stayed together, doing stuff together. Maybe even if it was just floating and kicking their feet together. I tell my wife, I miss walking with you. It's time we walk more with our spouse. It's time we go for a little drive with our spouse. Go out and do this together, even if it's catching a cold, but doing it together with your spouse. Amen? And thirdly, making decisions together. May this not be a year where you say, oh, that was their decision. No, this is our decisions that we have made together. Maybe we won some decisions as a couple, and maybe we lost in some decisions as a couple. But at least you made the decision as a couple. My marriage and my family, Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also should do? Must. You know, this is a hard verse sometimes. Because maybe some of us, we may have been around family this holiday season. And there may have been some family members we were ecstatic to see. And maybe some other family members were like, counting the minutes until this event is over. Family is not easy. Because stuff happens with family. Stuff happens where, oh, they did this and then I did that and we just went around and around and now I can't stand them. And well, I know we're family, but if I saw them down the street in the city, I wouldn't talk to them. Bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Oh, I'm not apologizing until they say I'm sorry first. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must. Paul says, Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with some men, all men. You see, this year is not going to be the best as long as I carry my resentment with my certain family members. I'm not saying that's you, but that could be you. I don't know. I know my family. I don't know yours. The Bible says, live peaceably. I'd like to say that they will be at the next Christmas or at the next Thanksgiving. But they may not. Not because they switched families. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Talking about home, the sweetest type of heaven is a home where the Spirit of the Lord presides. Did you know that our homes can be a little heaven? That's good news for me, because as we seek the Lord and ask for his presence, God makes things a whole lot sweeter. Talking about new things, what else new does God want to do in our lives this year so that it can be the best year? Well, my health. Yeah, our health. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, I put this in blue because this is the real blue zone. We take care of our bodies because he made us. We take care of our bodies because he died for us. And we take care of our bodies so we can tell others the same. Amen? Look at this. And we should teach others how to preserve and recover health. For the sick, we should use the remedies which God has provided in nature, and we should point them to him who alone can restore. It is whose work? Our work to present the sick and suffering to Christ in the arms of our faith. We should teach them to believe in the great healer. We should lay hold on his promises and pray for the manifestation of his power. The very essence of the gospel is restoration. And the Savior would have us bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted to take hold upon his strength. You see, we can have the best health only in Christ. As number one, ask God for guidance and be willing to submit. How so? Do we have some things that maybe we could do differently in our health, but choose sometimes not to? Well, that's where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes we're willing, sometimes we're not. Number two, how about incorporating more and more the eight laws of health? That's what Ellen White was referring to, the natural remedies. You see, we're told to have good nutrition, to exercise, get plenty of water, get some sunlight, be temperate, have a time for all things, get fresh air, have good rest at night, and also come and worship our God on the Sabbath day, and last but not least, trust in his promises. And last but not least, work together to heal the sick and lead them to Jesus. You see, praise God that there are health educators in our community who have received some light and are being proactive about it. Groups such as the Blue Zones. But when I think about the light that we have received, I think, Lord, have we missed something? They're doing the best they can with the knowledge that they have, and they're to be commended. But I believe we have been given more. What are we doing with it? Particularly as it pertains to health. We want the best year. It's got to include our health. We want the best year. It's got to include not seeing the doctor so frequently because we have not paid attention to our health. We want the best year with our church. Acts 2:41 and on, the Bible says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Did you know we're having another soul added to us next week? Yeah. Tyler Edwards done made up his mind to give his life to the Lord. And he'll be giving his life in the public form of baptism next Sabbath. But verse 2 says, because verse 1 talked about like thousands. It's time to get the 1, the 2s, the 10s, the 30s, the 50s, the 100s, and the 1,000s. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were where? Together. And had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church how often? Daily those who were being saved. I believe God is going to do some big things this year in our church. The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan through his church, that through his church shall be reflected to the world his fullness and his sufficiency. The members of the church, that's like us, those whom he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light, are to show forth his glory, his character. The church is the repository of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church will eventually be made manifest even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the final and full display of the love of God. The best church can only be found in Christ. As one, we pray and love our fellow member, pray for them and love our fellow member as ourselves. Are you praying for your church member? It's time we pray and love them more. Two, how about praying for those who don't know Jesus? Are we praying for them? And last but not least, invite and bring them to church with me. You see, that space to your left and to your right in the pew is not decoration, though it may look pretty. I wonder who's going to fill up that space, that space, that space, that space, that space, that space, that space. I heard a statistic recently that 96% of people would come to church if they were invited. Who are you and I? Who are we going to bring this year to church? Because let me tell you, praise God that you are here. But just me being here and you being here isn't enough. There's people dying without knowing Jesus. I'm excited for the persons that we'll be bringing with us this year. It is a new year with new things. And last but not least, what new things does God want to do in our lives to have the best year? Well, that includes our community. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, done it unto me." And chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. But he who is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We can have the best year and help our community in Christ as we help our neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? Do we even know our neighbors? If we don't know our neighbors, 2019, we got to meet our neighbors. We need to walk up to their door. Be-long. Hi, my name is Tony. I'm your neighbor right over there. And I just wanted to come and introduce myself. I hope that I may be of service to you. Is there anything I can help you with? Don't hesitate to call or ask. I want to be a good neighbor to you. I want to be a neighbor that can you can call when you're in need. Our neighbors need to know this if they don't know that already. But two, after helping our neighbors, because sometimes we'll drive by our neighbors and they're doing stuff and we'll look at what they're doing and keep on going rather than stop and help them. One of the great doors of evangelism is simply helping our neighbors. Number two, helping our city. This is a little picture of downtown. I know downtown's not much, especially that's a statement coming from a New Yorker. But does downtown, have they been helped by our church? Well, forget downtown. How about uptown? How about midtown? How about out of town? How about everywhere in the community? Have they been helped? Have they been blessed? Have we been a blessing to our community? We want the best year. We need to start thinking and praying about this. And last but not least, how about teaching others how to help themselves? On a weekly basis, we help out with food distribution, with clothes distribution. Praise the Lord for that. And thank you for all you volunteers for helping out. And if you haven't volunteered there, think about the next Tuesday to take advantage of that if you have time. But I believe there's things that God has blessed us with that we can help others in our community. It's time we help those in need more than we ever have, not next year. This year. But you could be saying and thinking, Pastor, 2019 is just another year, and pretty soon it'll be the end of the year and we'll be back here again. Or maybe you could be thinking that we're waiting for Jesus to come back for things to change. It is a new year, and my Bible tells me that as we come to Christ, he makes us new. And if he's making you new, if he's making me new, that means he's also recreating his church into his likeness. I don't know about you, but I don't want an old year. I don't want an old year in my experience with Christ. I don't want an old year in my marriage and my family. I don't want an old year in my health. I want to move forward in my health. I don't want an old year just doing the same things at church. I don't want an old year ignoring my community. I want a new year. I want to be part of a blessing in my community, in my church, in my health, in my home. How about you? Jesus said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, of the New Covenant." Today, we get to to renew our vows to the only one who can make us new. I want to be made new. How about you? At this moment, we will be separating into different locations for our service of humility. It is where we follow Jesus' example in washing one another's feet, in making things right with one another, and humbling ourselves and swallowing our pride. We have three locations set up. Couples may be able to serve one another in the Better Living Center, while the rest, the ladies and the gentlemen, will meet in respective rooms in the children's divisions here to my right, your left. Once, and during that time, the children's story will be given here in the chapel by Jaylene. But once we come back here, you know, there's an old hymn that says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" As we come back into the sanctuary, may we focus on his sacrifice. I know we'll be tempted to maybe strike up some conversations, but the Bible says, yield not to temptation. There'll be time to talk afterwards. Take the opportunity to contemplate the sacrifice of Christ in silence as we renew our vows. We practice open communion as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. You may be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. You may not be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you accept his death at Calvary and would like to accept and renew your vows to him in your Christian experience, I'd like to invite you to participate. And as we have received these instructions, may we be open to the Holy Spirit's promptings in our hearts. May the Lord bless us.